So today we're going to talk about decisions. Who has made a decision today? Anyone? Anyone made a decision? A couple. I've made some decisions today. Neil has made a decision about what he wears. Good work. Is that a good decision? Doesn't matter. Getting value out of the ironing. I like it. That's good. I had to make a decision about what time I woke up. I made a decision about what I was having for breakfast. I made a decision about what I was going to wear today. I made a decision a couple of days ago about what I was going to talk about today. The thing is, see, we make decisions all the time. And some of them we don't even know that we're actually making decisions because they're so entrenched in what we do. They're day-to-day things that we just make decisions about and we don't even think about them. I wanted to reflect a little bit about how we used to make decisions. Well, how I used to, I won't commit everyone to it, but I used to make decisions sometimes. Did anyone ever flip a coin, 50-50, heads or tails? Did anyone make a decision based on that? If you haven't got your hand up, come on. Elsa did. Good work, Elsa. So 50-50. So that could be a yes or no, right or wrong, yeah, type of thing. Did anyone do, what was that, Evan? A double-sided coin, which means a win-win, yeah? Did anyone ever do any, mini, miny, mo? Did anyone ever do that to make a decision? I did that. And if you didn't like the decision, you'd just do it again and start in a different place, right? We did that. Anyone ever roll the dice to make a decision? Anyone did that? Again, if you didn't like the decision, just roll the dice again. It was pretty cool. What about drawing straws? Who made a decision? Who has drawn the short straw? Who's used that term, drawing the short straw, before? Sometimes we do that. What about, Jack, this will be you, rock, paper, scissors. You ever done that? That's cool. You know, rock, paper, scissors. There you go. That's a good decision-making tool, right? The spit and clap. Did you say that? Yeah. I'd not heard that one before. That's BC, before Corey. Yeah. All right. What about, did anyone do the open the fortune cookie and read the fortune inside? Or friends have done that. If you don't like it, just open another cookie and hopefully you'll get to the right place one day. Mrs. Ink fell down the sink. BC? Must be BC. But another tool, right? He's still got them there. This was my favourite. I used to put all my options on a dartboard and throw the dart and see which one it landed on. That was pretty cool. Yeah, absolutely serious. That's what I used to do. It wasn't marry Lisa or, you know, do vision splitting or anything. It wasn't that. That wasn't it. Anyway, why is it important to make good decisions? Why is it important to make good decisions? The decisions that we make today determine the stories that we tell tomorrow. Would that make sense? They will be the stories that we make and tell tomorrow. See, I think that our generations have a growing problem with indecision, not being able to make a decision. Why is that? Well, I think there are too many options. You know, if you have a look on the internet, there's a whole heap of things that can keep us amused. There's a whole heap of things. Does anyone do, buying on the internet? You know, I think I was just reading somewhere the other day that shops and stores are now becoming almost obsolete because there is so much more going out via the internet where people order online and it gets delivered to your house, yeah? It's pretty convenient. So there is so, if you have a look in there, like there are thousands and thousands of things that you can choose from. I think also that we are indecisive because there is the illusion of perfection. And I blame social media for that. If you have a look at social media, you have a look at everyone's highlight reel. All the great things people have been doing, and we start to compare what we've been doing to everyone's highlight reel. Who looked at Did anyone see our Lisa and I? We posted some great pictures of our holiday. They were good. They were our highlight reel. They were amazing things that we did. What we didn't post was the 500 kilometres of tracking down the Bruce Highway and looking at not much between Mackay and Rockhampton, probably the most unattractive landscape you could ever travel. Definitely didn't post that. But you know what I'm talking about, that we compare ourselves to everyone's highlight reels and we look at all of the flaws that we have. And sometimes we just haven't developed the skills that we need to make great decisions. Or we haven't had the opportunity to make big decisions before. That makes sense? There is a number of verses in Scripture, but here's an overarching one that I think is an overarching principle. It's Matthew 7:7. You'll probably know it. If I say ask, and it'll be given to you, seek, you'll find, and knock, and the door will open. We've all heard that before, right? I had a look at this in two lights. I had a look at this in from a biblical perspective, and I looked at this from some of my people that I work with that have no faith at all, and thought, what does it mean to them? So in terms of ask, when we have an important decision, the Bible would say that we should pray and ask God to show us what we should do. Be no issues there, I don't think, for us. That's a fairly standard thing for people who have a faith that would look at that. From an earthly perspective of someone that doesn't have a faith, it would be ask someone that knows more about the topic than I do and see what advice they could give me. That's what most people would do, yeah? If we look at seek, to actively look for an answer. And where should we look? So from the Bible's perspective, we would look in the Bible because God's word is true and reliable. Would that be true? There's a whole heap of facts in the Bible and there's a whole range of laws in there that we can go by. From an earthly perspective or from my friend's perspective, it would be search for the facts or a consistent truth. Sometimes facts are hard to find, but where they would look for a consistent truth. They would analyze the facts, see for and try and find someone smarter than we are to try and help them analyze it. That's what they would do. And in terms of knock, we often refer to that as opening doors. And if we walk through those particular doors, we may find the answer. From the Bible's perspective, it would be pray and listen for spiritual direction and make a decision. From an earthly perspective, it would be weigh up all of the consequences and make a decision. What I like about these is that I can see what the Bible says, but I can see some practice that industry has, which is actually really closely aligned to what the Bible says, which is exciting. So I wanted to look at that a little bit deeper and have a look at five different steps, I guess we could take in terms of making a good decision. Oh, I don't know where it went. So the first one is about, so this one's probably more obvious to us. It would be pray for God's guidance in seeking his will. You see, in Proverbs 16:3, it says it very simply. It says, commit your work to the Lord, then it will succeed. We've heard this before. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14:3, he said, anything you ask for in my name, I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. I think about this in two different ways. I look at this about God's law, about what does the Bible say that we should do. Because there are some things that we often pray about that actually go against what God has said in his law. And so if that is the case, then God has trumped what your decision is, that he won't contravene his own law. It's important to note that Jesus' main focus is not fulfilling our requests, but glorifying the Father. So praying for God's guidance in seeking his will is important. Besides, your first decision in every matter should be fully obeyed of the word of God. So it's not just about praying about it. It's actually about understanding what God's about and understanding about what is right in this world and what is not. So that's the first thing. The second thing, if it will work, is you use your Christ-redeemed mind to analyse the situation. See, this is a great thing about living in this world. This is the great thing about making mistakes, is that we learn things along the way. So God gives us experience, and experience gives us knowledge. In Romans 12:2, it says this: "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is God and acceptable and perfect." Understanding this helps us start to pull apart ourselves a little bit, and having God in mind when we start to think about the decision that we need to make and to analyse the situation properly. So this is not for about how do I tie my shoelaces or what should I wear, although Lisa would probably say that I probably should think about that a little bit more. But this is more about complex problems. It's more about the problem or the decision that Ange had to make. May not have been a hard decision, but nevertheless, you still need to think about it and analyse it to get the best outcome. A fact is a thing known or proved to be true. You need to have a clear first-hand information before finalising a decision. Collect and analyse the facts before you make the decision. Plan and visualise the end state is important. In Luke 14:28-30, says this. It's a story and an example that has happened. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundations and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish." This was a decision that they needed to make. This was a decision about building a tower, but not thinking it through and not having all of the resources and all of the things that they needed to do to complete it. So they only got to the foundations. How many times have we made a decision before where we haven't thought through to the end? It's important. God says that we need to do that. There's an old saying, you don't know what you don't know, so find out what you don't know. Collect the facts and analyse the information. Any surprises encountered after the decision has been made can be very costly. Checking your facts is one of the ways you can avoid having those costly mistakes. Okay, let's move on to the next key thing. Seek godly counsel. I think we've spoken about this before in other messages. In Proverbs 11:14 says this: "Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in the abundance of counselors, there is safety." In other words, we don't know it all as individuals, but there are people around us that know more. I always say, I've been saying this to my team, if I am the smartest person in this room, then I don't have the right people in the room. The knowledge is in the collective. We need to think about that. How many times have we made too big a decision and not seek counsel, or we've not asked the right people to give us more facts or more understanding about the situation? See, the focus here is on experience and spiritual maturity. A mature and wise person who had been there and done that often provides helpful insight. Again, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." So choose carefully. Godly counselors will not try and force you into a decision against your will. They will attempt to help you make the right decision. Can you relate to that? I can relate to that. Look, the last 2 weeks, the giant decisions that I have had to make, I have not made them in isolation of experts in the field. I've had to make life and death decisions about what we save, what we're unable to save, and more importantly, about life versus death. These are not decisions that I can make all by myself. But I surround myself with people that are able to provide facts so that we can make the correct decision. The next thing we should do, and it says this in the Bible, is analyze your motivations. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Sometimes we get caught up in it. Sometimes we are too close to the situation to make a logical decision. We make emotive decisions about things which are not always the right decision. I think we can all relate to that, yeah? Emotive decisions are not always the right decisions. We often use the excuse, I just wasn't thinking. I've used that before. I just wasn't thinking. But unfortunately, excuses can't change the consequences of a poor decision. We always have to be thinking when we make decisions. One careless decision can lead to a long-term consequence.